Good morrow to you. It is technically the morrow. It is after midnight, or it soon shall be. Technically, you could say I am not quite there yet, but I'm going to take the ceiling and not the floor in the context of mathematics and say it's midnight and it's tomorrow. And it's September the 22nd, 2019, and it's early as fuck. It's midnight. Do you know where your French bulldog is? It is midnight. Do you know where your French bulldog is? It is midnight, my friends. Do you know where your French bulldog is, you fuck? Anywho, I don't want to get all waxy, whimsical, story writing bullshit about French bulldogs and midnight, but it is early as fuck, folks. And it is September the 22nd, 2019. This dread month is almost over. We haven't had a market crash, but boy, has that repo window been open. Oh, been open. Somebody pick up the phone. Call me Emilio Estevez. Harry Dean Stanton's dead. Get him out of the grave. We need the repo man. Yeah, the repo window. Now, what is that? Well, if you don't know, over the past 10 days, there has been a liquidity crisis. You probably don't know because Disney bought Fox News, so even if there was one honest fucker left on Fox News business to tell you the truth, you just don't know. CNN is all bullshit, and guess what? National Public Radio and PBS and all those other sources of information that you believe represent the pinnacle of truth in a free America. Wake the fuck up. You're being lied to. Yeah, anyways, I don't want to go too far into that topic, but first topic came up because I was surfing the web and I came across Max Keiser. Now, folks, I listened to the Keiser Report. I'm about to say religiously, and if you know what religion can be, in the sense of if it is an empty ritual, it really wasn't. I really liked the Keiser Report, and I listened to it assiduously. Anyways, I listened to it a lot between 2011 and 2014. Roughly between the time that my mom and my sister died of cancer and just after my ex-wife divorced me. And my reason for no longer listening to Max Keiser was not because everything he said was false. Folks, you need to I need to keep repeating this because even though I have podcasts on the subject of lying, I think people forget how much they're lied to, especially by authority. Max Keiser's show was great, and this isn't about RT, Russian television. If you think Russian television is more or less accurate than ours, if you think that they're being told the truth and we're being lied to, or vice versa, I also think you're a fool. Every crocodile has a spokesman. Every government controls its press, one way or the other. There really never was a free press. But a lot like the situation with tiny crocodiles, for much of our history, the government just didn't have the power to do anything about it. So you actually had a competition for the truth. That's really what journalism is. Journalism, when properly practiced, is a competition for the truth between civic society and government. Now, here's the deal. In a free society, it would simply be competition, which would actually be even better. But the way we live today, the best you can fucking hope for is what's called a free press. That is dead in America, and it was probably dead before I was born. Now, one could argue that the internet changed that dynamic for a while. But those of us who actually read books and knew how to use index cards before the World Wide Web also knew that lots of people would say things like, oh, the printing press, it'll change the world for a while. And yeah, make improvements that are good. And also, yeah, guess what? By the time you get to the 18th century, the most popular form of literature in France is not Descartes. Okay, it's not Rousseau. It's not any of those people you would think. It's not Montesquieu, it's not Voltaire. The most popular genre of literature in France before the French Revolution was pornography. So when you think about the internet and journalism, please remember, it's a technology. It's a tool. And tools and technologies like rocks and logs have no inherent ethical decision making. They are things we use, and how we use them has an ethical aspect. But the fact that they exist is really neither here nor there, and there is no ethical decision making that occurs inside of a rock, or a gun, or a car, or a barrel of oil. The ethical decision making happens outside of it. It's also why banning things it seems really appealing to people on the left, because they can't really reason their way out of it. Like, they don't really understand that inanimate objects have no real power over them. But by the same token, most of these fucks stare at their phones all goddamn day. So really, inanimate objects do have power over them. Anywho, back to Max Kaiser and his beautiful wife, Stacey Herbert. I think they're married. Anywho, and co-host, right, of the Kaiser Report. I loved his show, but then in about 2013, and then it got really bad in 2014, the Kaiser Report seemed like it was only about cryptocurrency. Now, folks, here's the deal. Whatever cryptocurrency is or isn't, and I've read the Satoshi paper, I haven't read every line of Bitcoin code, but I have downloaded it, I have read it, and I have built the code before. I've done that. I know how it works, okay? I understand how it works. So I'm not speaking as some idiot who bought a mining fucking computer, has no clue about how it works, is a good script kiddie, and that's it. I actually understand the mechanics of the blockchain, okay? Every fucking day of the Kaiser Report, it would be, you know, Dogecoin or Ethereum or Bitcoin or whatever the fucking flavor of the week cryptocurrency was, and it was so over the top supportive that it seemed as if he was being paid. Because very few technologies throughout history have that much support. They really don't. Even the World Wide Web, which basically did work, folks, you need to understand this. It may not have had all the fucking features we have today, but when the World Wide Web debuted more or less in 1994, it worked. You clicked on a link, it wasn't non-deterministic whether you were going to get your page. It worked. The only thing that prevented it from working were things that were actually like, the internet is down. But as far as HTTP and HTML, and how the World Wide Web worked, it worked from the get-go. Back in 2013, when I went to a meetup for Bitcoin in Seattle, I had people telling me that Bitcoin and crypto in 2013 was like the World Wide Web in 1995. And what I tried to explain to them is that the World Wide Web worked in 1995 for a lot of fucking people. More importantly, a lot of ordinary fucking people. Now, I'm not going to get into the economics issue or poverty versus wealth, but here's the bottom line, folks. The World Wide Web worked not just because it behaved as expected from an engineering standpoint. It worked, okay, because people could use it. They could afford to use it. It was feasible. Whatever you think the price of one Bitcoin should be, whether one Bitcoin should cost $5,000 or one Bitcoin should cost $20,000, you need to fucking think about this for a second before I continue. Most Americans don't have 500 bucks. And if you look at the economic pie of planet Earth, most people on planet Earth don't have the resources to buy your fucking coins. That's A. B, most people on planet Earth do not have the physical resources to mine your fucking coins. Yes, there are crazy-ass miners in Siberia, in China, in America, in Europe. That is true. I'm not talking about places where there is some technology going on, some economy, and you got a bunch of bored software engineers who got some extra cash and really don't understand the laws of thermodynamics, really. They don't. Because if they did, they'd realize how inherently stupid the whole thing is. But that being said, yeah. The World Wide Web worked in 1995. Bitcoin did not work in 2013. And frankly speaking, when I was involved with crypto crap back in 2017, it still did not work. Okay? Visa could clear hundreds of thousands of transactions per second. And again, these are 2017 numbers, okay? PayPal could clear hundreds and hundreds, like over 1,000 transactions per second. And Bitcoin, they averaged about 50 per second for the whole fucking network. Now, if you think that is good performance for something that a low-range cafe owner that has two or three employees and depends upon blue-collar workers to buy fucking coffee and eggs, if you think that kind of fucking system with non-deterministic outcomes for payment, by the way, network-based digital coin clipping. Well, what do you mean by that, Dan? Well, the problem is, when you get into fractions of coins, the math for the blockchain gets really fucking dicey. And how you calculate the cost of managing the transaction, which means incorporating it into the blockchain, that can vary too. So let's say, instead of doing a whole coin transaction, like, hey, coins are currently worth what? I don't know what they're worth now. Let's say a Bitcoin were worth $7,000. And I wanted to buy a used Porsche for $70,000. Here's your 7 Bitcoin. Wow, that was easy. And folks, shit like that with Bitcoin probably is relatively easy. Instantaneously being marked by the IRS and the NSA and every other intelligence agency, of course, which means there's a giant fucking red flag on your head about 5 minutes after your transaction clears. But yeah, that's fucking amazing what you just did. And yeah, it kind of worked. But for mom and pop cafe that depends upon people with ordinary jobs who don't have 500 bucks extra, okay, to take care of an emergency, they need those customers to keep coming in. They do not want them to be standing in line, having their money ripped off by an unstable, non-deterministic network. And more importantly, that restaurant owner wants to get paid. I did a test transaction with Bitcoin. Yeah, I think it was October of 2017. And the test transaction was essentially, I think it was a $5 or $10 purchase from our website. We were using a WordPress plugin, one that was recommended by the Bitcoin community. And we tested the credit card transaction, and it more or less worked. And then we tried to test a crypto transaction. And we opened up we created a wallet. We went ahead and conducted the test purchase from the wallet we created. And whammo blammo, the money never showed up. I mean, it might have showed up. You know, my business partner and I, we broke up a few weeks later. So it's possible that 2 months after that, some fraction of the money to buy something off our site showed up in the other wallet. It is possible. But in the week or two that I was there, I did not see it. If you think mom-and-pop restaurant want financial behaviors like that, you are fucking crazy. But let's get to the nub of it and back to Max Keiser. Whatever the blockchain might be, if you're one of these people who's going to respond, well, Dan, when quantum computers come online, okay, folks, if you actually think you understand how quantum computers work, you don't. But let's assume quantum computers become a thing in the next 10 years, available to everyone. Yes, 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 I know about Google, I know about DARPA, I know they've been experimenting with qubits for a while. But I want to emphasize that they've been experimenting. There is no fucking quantum computer you can buy yet. At best, they're applying quantum computing to encryption problems. That's what they're currently doing on a small scale. So please, folks, it ain't there yet. If your contention is quantum computing, though, will somehow make the blockchain work, I got a sad little factoid for you. Quantum computing will also unravel the blockchain. Quantum computing makes NP-complete problems solvable. You need to fucking meditate on that. The traveling salesman problem, if you can fork the solution to that problem across the multiverse, is literally solvable in under polynomial time. In fact, with enough energy, and I think it will be an energy issue, probably even linear time, okay? That is what quantum computing could mean to the blockchain. It also means that you can crack the blockchain. The toughest encryption you can imagine, the toughest public-private key elliptical generation algorithm you can imagine, quantum computing can crack that. Quantum computing can crack the whole fucking thing. It could spoof the whole thing, and this is how it would happen. What you would have is what I would call a topological split. But you would essentially have one of the nodes spoof every other node, and then all of a sudden, they're all being dragged a certain direction. And guess what? Because the blockchain is a peer-to-peer network, which is really technically polycentric, all those blockchains get corrupted. And guess what? All your magical tokens are now worthless. Your blockchain is owned. So forget quantum computing for a second. It is not going to help you. But here's the one thing that is not fucking controversial. And so if you're one of those people out there that says, Dan, you're a Luddite, you just hate crypto, you're pissed off that you didn't get in on the ground floor, and frankly, that's the same fucking argument that the shelter scammers tell me about flipping homes. The reason why I'm angry about the way that our quote-unquote housing economy works is because I don't have a home. No, that's not it, folks. It's upsetting to me because it's bullshit. Okay? So I critique the real estate economy for the same reason I critique crypto, because something smells. It does not smell right. But here's the thing that is unfucking controversial, assuming you read the fucking Satoshi paper from 2009. The blockchain is literally the most public ledger in the history of the world. Every single transaction you ever do utilizing the blockchain. And again, there are different chains, so it's not like stuff from Bitcoin goes on Ethereum. It's not like they share the information between the blockchains. But if you're using Bitcoin as your primary crypto, every single transaction you ever do will go on that blockchain forever. And it is publicly available for everyone. That is how it works. That is the only way the blockchain could work. Okay? Through some type of encryption-based replication. That's how it works. And the verification process has to do with Merkle tree expansion and the competition between nodes to see whose next choice for a coin will win. That's how the coins get propagated. They get created. Because as a process of conducting transactions, you also have nodes mining coins. But again, all of this is public. Yeah. Is the blockchain something you can look at and read with your eyes? No, it's essentially a lot of data. Data that contains numbers and, frankly, public keys. And once I have a public key, and once I have an IP address, which for most people using these fucking smart devices means a mobile number and a mobile ID, once I have that, you are owned. I know every single thing that you're doing with your fucking money once I have your public wallet key. Now, you could say, well, Dan, I'll just create another wallet, and that's fine. It'll take us about 5 minutes to do that association, too. And when I say us, I mean pretend that I'm the NSA, the National Security Agency, or pretend I'm the CIA, or one of the 17 intelligence agencies that Hillary has rattling around in her head, okay? They know who you are on the blockchain probably within 5 minutes after you conduct a transaction. And it does not matter whether you're trying to buy a Porsche with 7 coins or trying to buy a fucking cup of coffee with just a few satoshis, a fraction of a coin. They know. The truth is, if you go to the grocery store, and this is a separate topic but kind of related, if you go to the grocery store and you say, well, Dan, I only use cash when I go shopping, that's fine, that's fine. You only use cash. But if you use a loyalty card, even if you never fill it out, if you use a loyalty card and at any time you use that loyalty card with a credit card or debit card, bam, you're owned. They know your transactions, and it doesn't matter that you use cash, because once you've done that one stupid fucking thing, you're done. And if you fill out the loyalty card, like, I'm going to get all the extra points, yeah, you're pretty much done. You know, and again, privacy experts talk about this to greater depth than I'm going to. It needs to be repeated, folks. Before I go to the next topic, and before you get pissed off that I'm beating up on the blockchain, I need to repeat it, and I need to just sort of just emphasize this. The blockchain is the most public ledger in the history of the world. And the argument that blockchain fanatics make, even anarchist blockchain fanatics, which is fucking crazy because this is the least anarchist position I can fucking imagine. They make the argument, well, if you're not doing anything wrong, why should you care? Because one of the bases of the blockchain is that it's not like fiat. You just can't magic it into existence. You have to burn computer resources in a non-linear way to get a coin. Okay, I get it. You've created the magical way by which people within a given coin can only make so many. Problem is, there's no limit to how many coins you can have. Oh, yeah. No one ever told you that you could also have Ethereum and you could have the Dogecoin and all these other 50 quadrillion Ethereum contracts and other coins. No one ever told you this, did they? That basically, while there may be a mathematical limit to the number of coins that you can mine in the context of a given coin, there is no mathematical limit by design to the number of different cryptos you can have. Which also implies that that many of these folks have a winner-takes-all mentality. They all know that when the crocodile comes down and picks a coin, the others will be destroyed. But they don't give a fuck. We'll give them a few of our coins. We'll convert Ethereum to Bitcoin or whatever, sure. It is the most public ledger in the history of the world. I'm going to keep repeating this because if there are any anarchists listening, you need to understand this. If you believe in human liberty, you have to recognize that one of the features, one of the dimensions of human liberty is the right to your privacy. Now, if your contention is, well, people who aren't doing anything wrong don't need privacy, you're not an anarchist, okay? You are a crocodile worshiper. You just don't understand it yet. You're fucking confused. The blockchain is the most public ledger in the history of the world. If I can tell you anything right now, I will tell you this, and I will ask you, please, 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 by all means, if you're a libertarian or an anarchist, please consider the possibility that it was not accidental that silver and gold prices were clobbered right about the time that all these cryptos became a thing. Just consider the possibility that you're being deceived. And when all this implodes, when all of it does implode, and it will implode because it is an illogical thing to do. The entire thing is crazy and impossible to make work in any functional way. When it all implodes, don't say that people didn't tell you. And to those of you that made lots of money off of crypto, I would say the same to you that I say to the fucking house flippers. Make money while you can. I mean, if you want to do that, I don't blame you. if you're flipping coins or flipping houses and you're making percentages on the peaks and the valleys, on the arbitrage of human sadness, fine. That's your fucking money. I really don't care. There are people who make money killing people too. Did you know that? But I, for one, I'm not going to spend my energy participating in schemes that really only have one purpose, and that is to take advantage of people. And as an anarchist, don't you dare tell me I don't have a right to my privacy. I will conduct my business as privately as I fucking can. And if it becomes impossible for me to conduct business privately, which more or less it is already, but if it becomes so much that I cannot do anything without being given permission, well, folks, I suppose that's the day that Uncle Dan goes crazy too, right? In that final sense. Everybody has limits. Everybody. Nature, humans, even God gets to a breaking point once in a while. Read your book. Read the Bible. Next topic, because I beat up on Max enough. Just to say this before next topic, I like Max Keiser. I think he's a smart guy, but I truly don't know why he spends so much fucking time on crypto. I wish he didn't. I wish he would talk about other things. Next topic, truth bombs. Wow. We are going to talk about truth bombs next. What can I say about truth bombs? Currently, we are in a very strange political time in this country. And that's a really, really, really nice way of putting it. Very strange time. And a lot of people associate it to Donald Trump. Like, it's Donald Trump is evil. Donald Trump is bad. Donald Trump is owned by the Russians. Yeah, Donald Trump this. And the thing is, I did not vote for Trump. I do not care about Hillary. I can't even say her fucking name. I'm taking a glass of water. I don't give a fuck about Hillary or Trump because to me the choice in 2016 became basically a choice between pancreatic cancer or lung cancer. Basically the same horrible fucking choice. And you're asking me which would I prefer, lung cancer or pancreatic cancer? And my answer is none of the above. Now I know that's not actually a choice on the fucking menu. But as an anarchist, I do have one choice still, at least still. I can choose not to participate in your fucking voting. I can do that. I can also choose not to participate in your stupid fucking arguments about which representative to the crocodile is better. Well, my crocodile representative promises lower taxes. Well, my crocodile representative promises we're going to bomb Iran. Well, my crocodile representative promises we're going to give everybody free health care. Truth bombs. We're living in a time of truth bombs, you know, and this whole Q thing. Oh, God, I hate this whole Q thing. I've got some satirical videos on my Minds account. Minds, that's Dr. Freckles at Minds, or I should say Minds, and it's at Dr. Freckles. But if you go on Minds to my at Dr. Freckles and you look at my videos, I got some Q videos I made up. I made them up on purpose because the whole Q thing looks like a total pile of bullshit. But maybe Q is speaking truths. We've talked about this, folks. Liars. Successful liars, with very few exceptions, always give you some truth. Because otherwise, the lie would be impossible. You couldn't possibly deal with it. It wouldn't work. Your brain couldn't make sense of it. So you have to have a few little bits of truth here and there. And that is why you can discover the lie. That is the key to uncovering it. The little pieces of truth that they can't avoid putting in there. They have to. It is fucking unavoidable. But the general assumption, especially amongst the quote-unquote alt-right or alt-journalist community, and at this point, I don't even know what that fucking means. It's like Zero Hedge. I go to Zero Hedge because it's the last slave aggregator for us slaves. Is it potentially owned by somebody? Owned in the sense that it has an agenda? Possibly, and at times, I wonder, because, like, for example, I have been watching Zero Hedge in the last, I mean, reading Zero Hedge. You know, it's where I go to get the news. I've been reading Zero Hedge, and these fucking ads will pop up in the main thread, in the news thread. And the ads are for manscaping, for, you know, a tool to shave my balls. And folks, if you're gay or lesbian, because I frankly don't really know what transgendered really is, but if you're trans, fine too. If you want to fucking shave your balls, if that's part of your junk philosophy, the philosophy of your junk, if you want to shave your junk, that is your own fucking business. It is not mine. I don't care. I really don't care. But all these fucking ads on the Zero Hedge thread, it's like for Manscaped. And I'm thinking, fuck. I mean, this is really the end times. Zero Hedge at least had an aspect to it that you could say, well, at least it's not low T. In fact, they make fun of soy boys all the fucking time on Zero Hedge. And here I'm seeing this fucking ad for a clipper for my balls. Now, folks, this is not the main part of this topic. This topic is about truth bombs. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. There's no great source out there. We are all fucking trapped in a museum of lies. And that's where we're at. And the best you can hope for is you'll find two or three lies or two or more lies and figure out that strung all together, they're impossible. So you can throw out the whole thing. That's one of the things you can do. You can find two or more pieces of information that are so contradictory when compared to each other that you simply throw out the whole mess. That is all you can fucking do. But here's where it gets worse. And this is why we're talking about truth bombs. A lot of folks think of these truth bombs as dangerous to the crocodile or the government. They say, well, the government wouldn't, you know, doesn't want us to know the truth. Ergo, if Julian Assange or somebody else is giving us the truth, it must be some sort of legitimate, you know, action on the part of people, you know, a sign that things are changing, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to give you a different explanation that is far more likely, and it will probably piss you off, but you need to fucking listen to it. Truth bomb, okay. A truth bomb is kind of like throwing red meat to a tiger. Now, you might say, why would a crocodile worry about anybody attacking it? Folks, the government or the crocodile is big and powerful, but over time, it also gets weak and slow. And it's never been very smart. And for the most part, it does have good basic instincts about knowing when all the people are beginning to hate the crocodile, which means people are getting restless. They're thinking the crocodile does not love us. The crocodile is eating too many babies. When that happens, the crocodile has very few alternatives, very few things it can do. One of the things it can do is just kill the people. And it does that. Throughout history, crocodiles love killing the people they serve. Governments in the 20th century murdered approximately 300 million people, plus or minus. Though at that, you know, that's a staggering number. Let's not quibble. Let's just say a third of a billion people were murdered by their crocodile, by their government in the 20th century. And that means, you know, Pol Pot in Cambodia, that's Joseph Stalin in the Soviet Union, obviously that's Adolf Hitler, that's Mao Zedong in China, and I hate to break it to you, that's also the United States of fucking America blowing every place up every fucking few years. We murdered a lot of people in Vietnam, and if you're one of these folks who wants to give me some, we could have won that war. Why the fuck would it matter? What would have winning the Vietnam War have done, really? we would have had another shitty two-piece dictator instead of a communist shitty dictator. The people of Vietnam would have been no better off one way or the other. We would have been no better off one way or the other. Best case scenario, Vietnam goes down the path the Philippines did. And 20 years later, they're basically throwing out their leaders and realizing America is full of shit. So here's the deal, folks. It does not matter that we lost there. What is not in question, if you're a rational agent, is we killed millions of people in that fucking war. And for no good fucking reason. But yeah, governments will kill their own people. Governments have throughout history done that. United States government spent most of the 19th century killing Native Americans, some Mexicans, and some runaway slaves. So for the most part, our crocodile hasn't really killed us in the same way. But if you look at things like population control, like fluoridated water, like the fact that they're probably dumping toxins, and you know all those microplastics they're talking about that are miraculously showing up in people's bodies? Look up to the skies, people, please. Just look up. Watch the skies. That stuff is falling on us. That stuff is being used. Why it's being used, I have a couple theories, but I can't prove them one way or the other. What I can tell you is I'm very certain they are lying to us about it and that it is happening. But why it's happening, I don't know. Dane Wigington seems to think that these polymers are used in solar radiation management. That would explain their presence in the Arctic and in people's bodies. Why would a government hold on to truths and then reveal them? Because periodically people go crazy. Periodically people get upset. Periodically entire societies go so crazy they kill their leaders. This is something the crocodile knows. In fact, probably the crocodile read Professor Davies' 1962 paper Toward a Theory of Revolution, where Davies basically explains that the basic cause for insurrection is not that complicated and should be pretty fucking obvious. It is where expectations and reality diverge in a non-linear way. So you basically expect to be making 50 grand a year, but instead, every year for the next 5 years, you're making 20% less, and it's only getting worse in a non-linear way. And it's not just your salary, it's everything. Your ability to live, your general sense of wealth is decreasing compared to expectations at a non-linear rate. People get pissed off, people get angry, people form armies, and with all of the counter-intel and all of the COINTELPRO and all of the FBI programs for infiltration and all the Antifa, Antifa's made up, folks. Antifa is completely designed. Antifa is a giant psyop for sucking in people who would seek out legitimate forms of rebellion. Antifa is total bullshit, just so you know. And if you're in Antifa and said, well, I joined it, Dan, and I'm not bullshit. Listen, you might not be bullshit, but you are being fucked with. Antifa's bullshit. No amount of that shit works. And when you run out of that and you're not ready to kill all your people, what do you do? What do you have left? Well, you do have one strategy left, it turns out, and it is counterintuitive, but it does work. You can drop a truth bomb. You can reveal a sacred truth, and if you happen to be the man or woman or zhe on a white horse, like Obama was in 2008 or Trump was in 2016, you can be perceived as the great hero that reveals the great truth. Guess what, folks? Q didn't invent this, okay? Trump didn't either. Did you ever hear of the secret speech? You know why people don't know about the secret speech? One's because people are stupid. Most Americans have no sense of history, and they don't read books. But because it was a long time ago, in 1956, Nikita Khrushchev gave his secret speech. In that speech, he dropped a lot of truth bombs. including telling everyone that Joseph Stalin had committed crimes, that Joseph Stalin had murdered people. Now, here's the deal, folks. Everybody in Russia and Eastern Europe knew these things. Everybody knew that Joseph Stalin was a steaming pile of monstrous bullshit, a mass murderer. Everybody knew this. But in the totalitarian society of the Soviet Union, you didn't talk about it. Okay? You just didn't talk about it. It's kind of like 9/11. I would contend that most rational people realize that the 9/11 story is bullshit. But the reason why a lot of people don't talk about it is the same reason why a friend of mine a few weeks ago said, wouldn't it be better just to pretend about it? Like, just to pretend they told us the truth. The reason why they don't is because it causes problems. It is inconvenient. It undermines the core narrative of the culture that we are okay, that what we do is okay, that even better than that, we're like what Obama said. We are indispensable. We are exceptional. We are America. If we go do something, it must be because it was the right thing to do. So yeah, 9/11, that's a whole nother story. But anyways, governments drop truth bombs. They drop truth bombs, and Nikita Khrushchev in 1956 dropped a truth bomb. He dropped a truth bomb so big, it led to I'm not going to say rebellions. They weren't really revolutions, but they sort of were. But it led to a rebellion in Hungary in 1956, sometimes called the Hungarian Revolution. And yeah, it was kind of a revolution. And Imre Nagy took charge and asked the world to help. And that was probably also a kind of color revolution, FYI. There was definitely some CIA help. But the bottom line is, Nikita Khrushchev gives a secret speech. He says, Stalin's an asshole. We all have to admit this. We have to change communism. We just can't go around killing each other. I mean, yes, I'm summarizing, but that's the guts of Khrushchev's secret speech, basically. He dropped a major truth bomb, okay, in the Soviet Union, all right? He dropped a major truth bomb in a totalitarian society, and you would say, why would he do that? For the same reason why Q is doing what it's doing for whoever in the deep state, for the same reason why Trump might very well at some point, because it seems inevitable. You know, if you read this University of Alaska report on World Trade Center 7, you have to be an idiot to just not end up at the conclusion that the whole fucking thing on 9/11 was a scheme. Why they did it, we can debate that. We can say, well, it was about making America great again. It was about oil. Who the fuck knows? It was about Project for a New American Century, the neocons, blah, blah, blah. It's about Israel. Who the fuck knows? But you cannot study World Trade Center 7 without coming to the conclusion that it was all bullshit. So the simple answer is this. Nikita Khrushchev knows what every crocodile knows and every representative to the crocodile knows. Truth bombs are useful. Truth bombs fuck with people. Truth bombs put people off their center of gravity, put them off balance. Now all of a sudden you have to conceive of the possibility that your government isn't a giant steam pile of shit, that there might be good guys. That's part of the narrative too, folks. This whole thing with Q and Trump about the white hats. You know, unless you fucking worked in the fucking government, unless you fucking have a clue, there are no goddamn white hats. They are all servants to the crocodile. Okay? There are no fucking good guys in this whole fucking mess. There aren't. I know why you got suckered into it. The same reason why people got suckered into Obama. Because he was a magical, magical person on a magical, magical white horse. And he was going to make everything better. That's what he did. 2016, he was going to put Hillary in jail. He was going to, you know, make America great again. The economy was going to explode. We all heard that bullshit. But when people sober up, or rather when they're in the midst of their hangover, and they realize that maybe they got fooled again, kind of like that Who song, Don't Get Fooled Again. Great song, actually. Every American, before they vote, every election, should listen to the song by The Who called Don't Get Fooled Again. Because truly, it is 100% of the fucking deal. Right there. So I think Trump, and here's the other thing about truth bombs too, before I close this out, because I think this is as much as I want to do for this podcast. if a big truth bomb gets dropped, like if in the next few weeks something hit big, and I mean something like either Epstein is alive, A, and being interrogated by the government, and those quote-unquote interrogations are leaked, and we find out some really horrific shit about Obama and Hillary and a whole bunch of other people, it could be anything. But if we get a major truth bomb, okay, whether it's about 9/11 or the election or whatever, you need to get worried. I'm going to say this again because it's important to have markers, okay? When you're trying to mark lines in the sand, you need to fucking have markers. If we get a truth bomb so big that one of our presidents in the last 20 years is arrested, and I'm telling you, folks, if 9/11 turns out to be what I think it is, Bush, and it's entirely plausible, a lot of other people, they're going to get arrested. They would have to be, or there would be revolution. People will put up with a lot of shit, but if they find out that we spent the last almost 20 years going around the world murdering people because of a lie that we have shredded, I mean, whatever Bill of Rights we had, it's gone. Now, me as an anarchist, I know it was what Spooner said. It was never going to work in the first place. But keep in mind, there are people who actually believe in the Bill of Rights. There are lawyers who believe in the Bill of Rights. We spent the last 20 years shredding them. For what? For what? A giant fucking lie. So this is important, and if that gets revealed, if something at that scale gets revealed, this is so important. I ask you to listen, because this is not prophecy. This is not any kind of magical hoodoo voodoo. This is common sense if you really focus on it and you understand how government works. If we get a Nikita Khrushchev level secret speech type fucking revelation in the next few months or years or whatever, I don't think it's going to be years, because again, if this happens, it'll happen soon. You need to be worried. That needs to be your countdown till day zero. Now, as you know, folks, I call day zero the great discontinuity. I do not know for certain what happens after day zero, but I am fairly certain it's going to be bad. And truth bombs are like popping smoke. I mean, I can imagine them dumping a series of truth bombs, getting people all riled up. They pop smoke. They head to Antarctica to whatever bases they have down there to survive. Basically, yeah, nuclear war or worse, because really it'll be that bad or worse. That's how much I trust my government. And I don't know if you trust the government more than that. That's great. That's your business. And keep listening, because I like having listeners. But that's how much I trust my government. I think that, yeah, it is a crocodile. Don't try to have an ethical conversation with a crocodile. Don't try to reason with it about morality. Don't crack open Matthew and start having conversations about the Beatitudes with a saltwater crocodile. If you go to Australia and you sit near the water where a crocodile is waiting, and you crack open the Bible in the hope that the crocodile will understand the Sermon on the Mount, you are a fucking moron. The crocodile sees you as food. The government sees you as food. Have a great morning.